This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Leave the chip making to Frito-Lay. International Business Machines will sell off its microchip factories. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In early trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was running weak, and some of the problem was IBM stock, which was down 7% early on. There was news this morning that IBM sales fell 4% last quarter amid weakness in its software and digital services. IBM is still the biggest company on the planet for computer services. Today, IBM took a new step away from manufacturing with word it's selling its chip-making factories to an investment vehicle of the Abu Dhabi government for $1.5 billion. Marketplace's David Weinberg has been looking into this.
Hardly any tech companies make their own chips. Dell, Apple, Qualcomm all get them from outside sources. One big reason is that it takes a lot of capital investment just to keep up in the chip business. For example, in the last 5 years, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, which is by far the largest contract chip maker, quadrupled its capital spending from $2.5 to $10 billion. Now, if you're a company like IBM, you have to look at those numbers and ask yourself, does it make sense to take a loss in chip making when we could just buy them from someone else? IBM's answer as of today is apparently no, it doesn't. Also interesting, David, what GlobalFoundries gets out of this is access to IBM's engineers and intellectual property, and GlobalFoundries will continue to supply IBM with chips. And I'm guessing IBM is getting a pretty good deal.
Marketplace's David Weinberg, thank you. And there is Europe. Natalie Trunau is Chief Investment Officer for Equities at Calvert Investments.
Markets have been giving Europe way too much credit for their ability to implement structural and market reforms. This has not happened yet, and this may not happen for another couple of years. So U.S. really remains the engine of the global economic recovery because global growth is still challenged outside of the U.S.
Well, speaking of the U.S., what's your feeling there? I mean, there's always the danger of contagion from abroad, but what's your outlook within the U.S.?
I am still quite positive on the U.S. The U.S. consumer has been getting more and more confident about the economic recovery. The job market is improving. Small businesses are doing better. Housing is on track. None of these areas are expanding rapidly, but most of the main economic drivers are pretty robust.
Natalie Trunau, who's at Calvert Investments, thank you so much for this.
Thank you very much.
We've been hearing a lot this morning about Apple and what could be their record profits due out later today. Meanwhile, Google, Facebook, and Samsung are interested in what they see as a new frontier. The catchphrase is the next billion customers for digital services. Who are these people and where do they live? Marketplace's Queenie Kim reports.
The next billion live in emerging economies like China, India, Brazil, and Africa. Jenna Burrell is a professor at UC Berkeley's School of Information. She's been studying one of these markets, namely Ghana, since the early 2000s. And she says even back then, it was clear people weren't going to use desktop computers to get online.
You know, it was a small number of people who were going to internet cafes, but almost everyone was either using or owning or getting possession of a mobile phone.
While a growing number of people in Ghana have smartphones today, the market is very different from the U.S. Burrell shows me a phone she bought there.
This phone has a number of special features. It has the antenna
for a radio and
this phone also has a flashlight
for when the electricity goes out. She cracks open the back of her phone.
underneath the battery pack where most of us don't really look. It's got a slot for your SIM card.
Like most of the next billion, people in Ghana don't have prepaid mobile plans. Instead, they use SIM cards, which are basically like phone cards that you insert into your phone.
This unit is worth about 2 minutes of airtime. And that gives you a sense of how it's a very precious commodity.
Burrell says in a continent where most people make about a dollar a day, even a few minutes of airtime is a big expense. And that's where Mozilla comes in.
I bought these $25 smartphones.
Andreas Gall is Mozilla's chief technology officer.
These are the devices that launched recently in India.
Mozilla is a nonprofit organization, and it's teaming up with local carriers to make affordable phones for the next billion. Critics of these $25 phones say the web pages take forever to load and you can't run more than one app at a time. Rakesh Agrawal is a CEO of Redesign Mobile, which develops products for the next billion. He says, forget the quality of the phone. In most emerging economies, data plans are prohibitively expensive.
You have to think about how much people can afford and what kinds of services they can use over their smaller data pipes.
He says the next billion aren't going to be running apps mindlessly like we do, which means in part, tech companies can't rely on advertising to make money off them.
If you're living on a dollar a day, Procter & Gamble can't afford to advertise to you because you can't afford their products.
Despite these odds, tech companies will continue to pursue the next billion. Smartphone sales and sales of apps will inevitably slow, so tech companies need the next billion to keep growing. In San Francisco, I'm Queenie Kim for Marketplace.
And we know the day the music died. Is 2014 the year the platinum album died? At the moment, no artist is on track to sell more than a million albums this year. Not Beyoncé, not Lorde, or Coldplay. Disney's soundtrack album for Frozen is up to 750,000 in sales, so we'll see. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.